Opinions expressed on this program are those of the host and do not reflect those of KVOR, Cumulus Media, or its advertisers.
I'm American made, but life's a delay. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR this Sunday night. Sorry, I'm a little tongue-tied as I get started here. There's so much to talk about tonight. That was symptomatic of what's going on in my head that I want to share with you and talk with you about. Golly, so much as it's spread out in front of me on my desk here. I cannot wait to cover it all. So buckle in, stay tuned, because it's going to be a fast evening of a lot of topics. We're going to be joined by Andy Pico. He's a retired Navy officer. Why is he joining us tonight? Because we're going to deviate from the junior high narrative going on in our culture and in our big media. By junior high narrative, are you done yet with all the sexual allegation talk and all the corruption surrounding all the allegations in politics? Because I am, and unfortunately, we have to talk about it tonight. But doesn't it feel like we're in junior high and all the kids with the hormones that are freshly raging are talking about, you know, all the juvenile sex talk? It's insane, but that is what's going on, and we can't get away from it right now. However, we have a few other topics we are going to address because they're ultra, ultra important. Today, I saw an article, it was posted on Breitbart, how one of the top generals that reports to our commander-in-chief, President Trump, basically said that if Trump were to issue an illegal nuke strike order, that this top general would not allow it to happen. And I just, red flags went up for me when I saw that. My first thought was, oh my gosh, is this an Obama holdover? What's the deal here? And I immediately got on the phone and called my friend Andy Pico, and I said, what do you know about this? Because is this a legitimate thing to say? And my mind's racing. What is the rule book for nuke strikes? Because I don't know about it. And to me, you know, the rules of war are what they are. You defend yourself. And North Korea, we'll talk about this a little bit later, there's some satellite imagery showing North Korea's building submarine ballistic missile submarine launchers. And that's a scary thought, because those submarines can get closer to our continent and launch those missiles and drop them on us. So this is serious stuff that we need to be considering. And if we don't have clarity, my understanding is the commander-in-chief doesn't he have the final say on basically everything that goes on militarily? That's my question. We're going to find out. Maybe I misunderstood what this top general was saying. Maybe I overreacted. I want to know, what in the world are the rules for nuclear strikes? Because we've got a fat commie across the ocean who will do something. He's not just talking. He's ready to do something. He is itching to strike us. And I want to know if we have conflict within the military ranks about it, or if Trump, who has vowed to defend us, and I know he will, if he has the ability to take action to defend us. So that's really important amidst all this other junior high narrative going on. It's creepy, perverted stuff going on in our world, in our culture. We still need to stay focused on all the threats that are coming up against us. So we're going to talk to Andy in a little bit about that and try to get some clarification. He's got some experience that I think is valuable to understanding that. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Denver. The Denver mayor and the city council, it's come out that they are making presentations to city employees and basically saying, if you are contacted by ICE, the immigration services, and about deporting any illegals, you will lose your job and you might even go to jail and be fined. That's what's going on in Denver, and that's Sanctuary City. That if that's not a sanctuary city, I don't know what is. But again, from where I sit, that's about 50 miles away from where I'm sitting. That's too close. And the idea that a government leader has now instituted rules saying that city employees, sheriffs, and sheriff's employees can't cooperate with ICE to deport illegals. And if they do cooperate, they're going to be put in jail. There's something seriously wrong. That's tyrannical. That's not at all what a constitutional republic is about. And we'll talk more about that, too. Boulder, liberal Boulder up the road, their city council has decided that sexual predators can live anywhere they want because the science proves that isolating them doesn't do anything to help the public safety. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, too, and I want your thoughts on all of that. Senator Flake from Arizona was caught on a hot mic talking about the fact that if Trump and Roy Moore are allowed to get elected, that the GOP's over. It's something like, I'm paraphrasing. We're going to play the audio from that. And, you know, that just opens the whole can of worms to what a lot of what we're going to talk about tonight is about. And it's that good old GOP. Our own Senator Cory Gardner, I would like him to join me on the show here and talk about this, as a matter of fact. And my producer will be calling him this week to find out if he will join us. He has come out and said that, well, here's what he says about Roy Moore in Alabama. Now, remember, there's a special election that's going to be held. I think it's December 6th, the 6th, the 16th. I think it's the 6th. Where the senator who's going to replace Sessions is going to be elected. And Roy Moore is the Republican against the GOP establishment's desires. And at this point, the GOP establishment has pretty much come out and said they would rather the Democrat be elected than Roy Moore be elected. We're going to talk about that a lot tonight. It's funny because when I post about the Roy Moore situation, I get feedback like, well, as a woman, shouldn't you be banding together with us and defending against men like this? Well, sure, but I want to make sure it's actually proven. And nothing has been proven about Roy Moore. And my take on Roy Moore is he's the candidate, and if Roy Moore has come out and said he's not going to give up, he's not going to resign, which he shouldn't. He shouldn't resign because here's the deal. If he's guilty and he gets elected, then it'll all come out. And then he can be the special election is the 12th. He can be it can be addressed then. He can be expelled from Congress then, if that's the case. But there's a bigger issue going on here. And that's whose place is it to decide who gets elected into the Alabama Senate? Question mark. Whose place is it? Who gets to decide who gets elected in the Alabama Senate seat? Is it the Alabama voters? Or is it the GOP establishment who hate him? And is it big media who hate him? And is it our own Senator Cory Gardner? Because Senator Cory Gardner came out and said this: I believe the individuals speaking out against Roy Moore spoke with courage and truth, proving he is unfit to serve in the United States Senate and he should not run for office. If he refuses to withdraw and wins, the Senate should vote to expel him because he does not meet the ethical and moral requirements of the United States Senate. Spoken like a real self-righteous kind of guy. Wouldn't you say? I have a real issue with what our Colorado Senator Gardner is doing here. Because, lo and behold, a Democrat, Al Franken, has been exposed this week with evidence to prove that he's a pervert and that he molested a woman sleeping. It's Leanne Tweeden. And we're going to talk about the entire fiasco now. You've got a sitting Senator Al Franken, there's evidence proving that he's a pervert and that he has molested women. And there's so much more than just this photograph that came out showing him touching her while she's sleeping. The guy's gross. He thinks that talking about raping children and drugging women and putting them into sexual positions and taking their pictures, he thinks all this is funny. And we've got on the other side, we've got maybe he's my formerly favorite senator, Ted Cruz. I hate even saying that. Can't believe I'm saying it. He's even saying that if Roy Moore doesn't come forward with a strong, persuasive rebuttal demonstrating that the allegations are untrue, that he should step out, that the Alabama voters shouldn't vote for him. This is insane, my friends. This is absolutely evil, insane. We're going to talk about this and so much more. Harvey Weinstein had a hit list of 91 people that he didn't want to talk, so he was manipulating their speech. So much to talk about. So stay tuned, buckle in, we'll be right back.
Things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin.
Anything you say, they write it down, they tape you,
yes,
they wrap a tweet about it.
Yes.
Lay off the comedians, okay?
Yeah.
Leave the comedians. We're like the philosophers right now.
On AM 740 KVOR.
All right, so we're talking about so many topics tonight. Primarily, we're going to be talking about the hypocrisy within the GOP and how they're throwing the Constitutional Republic under the bus. This is the establishment. And I left the first segment with a quote from Cory Gardner, Senator Cory Gardner, and with Senator Ted Cruz. I can't believe I'm putting the two of them in the same sentence, but Mitt Romney came out this week and texted this. Here's a question for you. Mitt Romney, failed presidential candidate, couldn't even get himself to beat Obama, all right? Here's what he texted this week. Innocent until proven guilty is for criminal convictions, not elections. I believe Lee Korfman. Her account is too serious to ignore. Moore is unfit for office and should step aside. That's what Mitt Romney said. Mitt Romney is saying you're guilty until proven innocent. And I'm going to read it again. This is Mitt Romney, quote, innocent until proven guilty is for criminal convictions, not elections, unquote. Mr. Romney, failed presidential candidate. Really? So it's guilty until proven innocent until what point? Until we get to a courtroom? Because your mentality here, Mr. Romney, is a witch hunt mentality. Totally, absolutely witch hunt. That's what our establishment GOP has come to, my friends. It is disgusting. It is dangerous. These guys are not putting our constitutional republic above all. In fact, Senator Flake, we're going to play a quote from him, where he is so deathly afraid of Moore getting elected that he's lumping Trump and Moore into the same camp and saying that would ruin the GOP. And quite frankly, Mr. Flake, good. Let's let it ruin your GOP, your members only club, your boys only club. I guess it's not boys only because we've also got a quote from Maine Senator Collins. She's in the same club. Thank you, Jason. I got spit that one out without having to look it up. No, this is such a bad situation. And get this, we're going to go into all this in a bit. Al Franken's not going to step down. His spokesman has already come out and said he's not resigning after his really emotional apology and saying, oh, please come investigate me. He's not stepping down. But our own GOP establishment, what have they said about Al Franken? We need some crickets because they've said nothing. Nothing at all. However, we've got Andy on the line.
Hi.
Hi, Andy. Michelle Moran.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. I'm so glad you called. We're going to come in and out of the junior high discussion about how perverted our culture and our politics is. And now we're going to be joined by you to talk about a threat that's serious against all of us. And I will just introduce it because you're the expert, in my opinion. We've got North Korea, who's intent on destroying us. And I found an article today, and I contacted you because I don't know what to make of it. We've got a top general telling Trump that if he was to issue an illegal nuke order, that this top general would not do it. And my question that the reason I asked you to join us tonight is, what is the rule book for nuclear launches? Whose rule book is it? And isn't the commander-in-chief the guy who makes these orders? And should a top general be telling him no? So anyway, Andy Pico, can you tell our audience a little bit about your background so that we know where you come from on this?
Yeah, I spent about 10 years in nuclear command and control business, and I was involved in several different places in that chain for quite a while. Everybody's pretty much familiar with the military aide who follows the president around and carries this briefcase.
Okay.
And there's a little bit of mystique to that.
Okay.
Well, that
yes.
person has to call someone and talk and be able to communicate whatever the president's decision is to that person on the other end of the line. That was me for a good portion of the time.
Okay.
I carried a duplicate, so I had all the same material. And then when I was in a different position on that operations team, I was the one who would take the decision and convert that into a message and transmit it. So I was part of that chain. And I know that command and control chain all the way through every step of the way, because I was somewhere in that chain for, like I say, a good 10 years. So I'm very much involved in that.
Wow.
Used to be anyway.
Okay.
So I know all the details. I know how it works. And I can't obviously talk about all of that.
Right.
But I'll be a little bit careful about how I say this.
Okay.
But
and I appreciate you. We did talk about this prior to the show. And
yeah.
I wanted to make sure you were comfortable joining us because I knew that it is one of those things where how much do we reveal? I certainly don't know, but I do appreciate you coming on in spite of that.
Yeah, so I read that article, and it showed up a couple places, and a few people actually emailed it to me going, question marks in there, and I didn't initially know what to make of it. But I read through that fairly carefully, and it's always a little tough when you're reading a reporter's article about something that they may not fully understand.
Right.
About what it was they said. Now, the first impression everybody gets it is, hey, the president issued an order, and the general would say, well, maybe, maybe not.
Uh-huh.
I don't think that's what he meant.
Okay.
Because that I don't think would really happen.
Okay.
Now, General Hyten, he's a general. I know him. He used to be here at Peterson at Air Force Space Command.
Okay.
He's currently the commander of Strategic Command. So that's the joint command that took over from Strategic Air Command some years back.
Okay.
And I used to, I was out there in Omaha when SAC was in its heyday. And everybody might say, well, what was the Navy guy doing out there? Well, that was a joint assignment.
Okay.
Yeah. Just before anybody wonders about that.
So okay.
It was a little bit out of my previous career life. But anyway, I'm reading that, and what he was talking about sounded to me more like he was talking about if the president gave him an order to develop an option, because that's when I read through that, that's what it sounded like. He said he had talked it over with the president, and they'd gone back and forth a few times, and he said if he thought the order was illegal, they'd work it out, and they'd do something. I don't think he meant that would be what would happen when we were under attack.
Okay.
It's way too late to have that kind of discussion if something's inbound.
Okay.
Those options have already been developed. They've already been put out. All the strategic forces have those in hand. They have what they're supposed to do. If something's coming in your direction, you don't have time to start thinking about what you're going to do. You have time to execute the action.
Okay.
And this kind of goes into the whole business of how you build strategic deterrence. But that really boils down to this, is that you have to have the ability that no matter what the other guy throws at you, he will not succeed in stopping you from taking out what his objectives and making sure he cannot achieve it and incinerating everything that he holds dear. And not just our capability, but he has to understand that that will happen. He has to have no doubt in his mind.
Kim Jong-un.
And that's Kim Jong-un or whoever it
okay.
is. Okay. And that's the essence of strategic deterrence.
Okay.
And what that entails, that if the chain is out there, there's multiple places, and the president can, you know, when it comes in, that'll fall into place.
We're going to take a break, Andy, and come right back. And I'm going to ask the question, what would be an illegal nuke strike, if you can answer that question, when we come back here on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you with Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
The top officer at U.S. Strategic Command is quoted as saying that if it's illegal, meaning a nuclear strike, guess what's going to happen? I'm going to say, Mr. President, that's illegal. And guess what he's going to do? He's going to say, what would be legal? His name is Air Force General John Hyten. And we've got Andy Pico on the line. Andy has a lot of experience with this topic. He's a former naval officer who's an expert on these topics. And I asked Andy to join the show tonight because the way this was framed made it sound like there's a problem. There's going to be a problem if the commander-in-chief, President Trump, wants to launch a nuclear strike and the top general says, no, that's illegal, so you can't do it. So, of course, as a person who doesn't know how that works, I'm wondering, okay, doesn't the commander-in-chief have final say? What is an illegal nuke strike? How could there be an illegal nuke strike if we're in a time of war? So, Andy, thanks for joining me here on the Michelle Morin Show on AM 740.
Yeah, it's kind of curious as to figure out what he meant by that. But like I said earlier, I think what he's talking about is in the planning process. Now, taking that to the idea that, well, if he just out of the clear blue said, hey, it's time to go nuke him, and there was nothing happening, well, that might be a little problematic.
Okay.
Because our whole structure and strategy is based on deterrence. And in that respect, the assurance that a retaliatory strike is coming. So shooting out of the blue, if they're not shooting at us, it's unlikely that we would want to go shoot at them.
Interesting. That's an interesting
take
on it.
That the idea of preemption is not necessarily off the table. If you know for certain he's got something and he's sending it your way, you don't necessarily have to go wait for it to detonate, before you go shoot. So, I mean, it's hard to understand what he was talking about at that point. But I think, after reading the article through a couple of times, what he was referring to was the process where you develop the options. Because the strategic forces out there, all of the nuclear forces, have their targets already there. The targets have been approved. Their options have been approved. Each one of the things that they're supposed to do when the message comes, they know what they're doing. That's already been through the wicket. It's been through legal review. That's all set. Those are all legal. Their design is retaliatory. So when you see something coming your way, something's going
it.
Back.
So what would be an illegal nuke strike?
I don't know.
Okay.
I really don't know what he's referring to there.
Okay.
The only thing that comes to mind would be if he just designed something to go preemptively hit them when nothing's on the launch pad, there's nothing coming at us, nothing is ready to go.
Okay.
I don't know, you might think about that.
Okay.
But even there, when he's building the system, by he I mean Kim, is building the systems to launch without warning, then you start kind of wondering what exactly is going on.
Yeah.
And that's where you go have that discussion in the back rooms of Omaha and Washington, D.C. about what it is and what the indications are that is going to trigger your response to them. But it's still a response.
Okay.
It's a response to something that's happening at the other end.
So
specifically what he's referring to, I don't know. I could only speculate.
So
the article wasn't all that thorough.
So my first response when I read it, of course it was framed this way, is it felt like, oh no, is it another Obama holdover who's just going to, you know, resist? Do you think that's a legitimate concern, or should that just be something that, you know, is not of concern based on your experience and how you know these folks?
Yeah, I don't think it was. I mean, that's how I first saw it too. Was, you know, I looked at that headline and an article, and it was kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
But
see, good. It's not just me.
No.
Good.
But you know, like I said, I kind of think it through and reading through that and understand what the context was, and that wasn't clear in the article at all. I don't know what the context was.
Okay.
So I don't think that what he meant was he was going to try to second guess the president when we're under attack. If something's coming our way, something's going back the other way.
Now, okay, and I think you've cleared that up, and I appreciate that because it just helps to know from someone who's been in these shoes, who knows what's gone on before, you know, kind of your take on it. I appreciate it. Are you, I know you're aware, that's kind of a dumb question. What do you think about these satellite imagery of North Korea developing this ballistic missile submarine? I know they're your favorite country.
Yeah, not my favorite country.
Yeah,
you know.
I know.
But yeah, that's very troubling. And I suspect we're thinking of lots of different options, and several ideas come to mind as how we might deal with that. Not the least of it would be just having somebody sitting off the coast waiting for him to get set to sea. And, gee, you know, the submarine's not reporting in anymore.
Yeah, I would love that.
But,
okay.
You know, there are things we can do. But the fact that he continues to go down this path, he's going to hit, if he keeps going, he's going to hit a point where we're not going to be given too much choice. And that doesn't necessarily mean we have to go in there with nuclear. But at some point, we may have to do something. Okay. I don't know when that's going to be. I'm not in that chain anymore. So I don't know what the details are going on. But
okay.
I'm not too concerned that General Hyten is going to try to second-guess the president if we're under attack.
Well, and again, as you said, I don't know if the I don't know the author of the article, what their agenda was. It could have just been to let us know, or it could have been to get us questioning. Maybe it was to force this discussion that you and I are having tonight, just to find out,
is this
an Obama holdover? So,
I don't really think so.
Okay.
So there's a lot of questions come out of that, but it really boils down to, are we going to respond? And I think very clearly we will.
All right.
You know, if anything comes up.
Well, Andy, thank you
for
joining me.
Trying to figure out exactly what they meant by that, and reporters aren't always very good at getting the correct context out of what the general says.
No, they're not, are they?
I've seen that more than once.
Andy, thanks for joining us on the AM 740 KVOR show. I will be calling you again in the future, I'm sure. Have a great evening.
My pleasure.
All right, so I am so appreciative of Andy Pico. He serves the Constitutional Republic. He serves us in that capacity so well in everything that he does. And I just appreciate being able to talk to him about these things. So, all right. So we've covered that base, and I'm feeling a little bit better about the whole topic. I'm you know, we don't know for sure. And like Andy said, don't know what the why it was framed the way it was. And I think that maybe it is to generate, you know, start getting this discussion going. And, you know, it doesn't hurt to walk away from all the junior high sexual perversion topics that we're going to get right back into. I'm sorry. That is the narrative going on, though, and it's what's being used to destroy our republic right now. We can't not talk about it. We've got Roy Moore, the Alabama judge, who fearlessly refused to get the Ten Commandments out of his courtroom. And this guy, he's undeterred. The GOP establishment and big media is doing everything they can to get Roy Moore off the ballot, get him, just scare all the Alabama voters from electing him. They've even gone so far as to say they would rather have the Democrat get elected. I'll have to find that in my pile of notes here. I forgot who said that. But I will say it again. Mitt Romney tweeted, "Innocent until proven guilty is for criminal convictions, not elections." What are your thoughts on that? That's my question for you. Call me here at 719 540-0740. You can also text me at 719-659-8398. Tiffany's here tonight. She will be collecting your texts and reading them on the air. And if you don't want to call, that's certainly a very viable way to contact the show tonight. In the meantime, we've got Michael joining us. And Michael, thanks for joining Michelle Morin here on AM 740. What are your thoughts about Roy Moore?
Well, I have many. I go many, many directions with that whole situation. But what I find it sort of, I guess, interesting with, you know, the Weinsteins and the movie industry people. I mean, we as the American, I guess, people, quick to not discount those women, but yet with Roy Moore, people are saying, well, you know, these women have some other, you know, motive that they're coming out now. But so, I mean, I don't know. It's just kind of funny that we're saying we don't, I mean, I've heard other talk show hosts say, oh, we don't believe these women. They're up there reading prepared statements with Gloria Allred and, you know, crying fake tears. But, you know, all the other women on the movie industry side, nobody ever said those about those women. That we were very quick to, the Academy kicked them out. The other actors, they lost jobs. But yeah, if it's a politician, well, we don't believe the women. I mean, I don't quite understand that. I don't understand the church either, like, backing him. And, you know, I've read and heard, from security guards who were working at the mall, say that he was very known to them at the time, back in the days, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, that he was banned from the mall because he would frequent a mall there in Alabama and try to pick up teenage girls. So, I mean, there is a lot of evidence other than these women that point to that he's a little sketchy.
Well, okay, so that opens up a question that I have for you. Evidence. Do you consider just the word of these people to be evidence? Just when these allegations come
forward? I don't.
You
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, you were saying that there's no evidence. Well, I don't think you said this. You said we're just taking it on the word of the accusers of Harvey Weinstein, and we're all over that, saying that he's guilty, if I'm paraphrasing you correctly. However, we've got all this quote-unquote evidence, is the word you used, against Moore, i.e. the security guards at the mall, proving, I guess, in your mind, that he's guilty. So where I'm going with this is what in your mind constitutes evidence, because I'm looking at an article from The Guardian. They're reporting that from The Observer, Harvey Weinstein had a secret hit list of almost 100 prominent individuals targeted by Weinstein to discover what they knew about sexual misconduct claims against him. And they've got, it's a list of 91 actors, publicists, producers, financiers, and others working in the film industry whom Weinstein identified as part of a strategy to prevent accusers from going public with sexual misconduct claims against him. And as far as I can tell, there's not looking like there's forgery going on here. But with Roy Moore, I have yet to see actual evidence. I hear a lot of people talking, a lot of people coming up with some sensational stories about him. And I'm not going to say they're true or not. I just want to know what you consider to be evidence that would cause you to convict him before, you know, proven guilty.
Well, I mean, I'm not convicting him. I'm just saying I don't really find that, you know, whether it's Roy Moore or Harvey Weinstein or any other person, when a woman comes out and says that something happened to them, whether it was last week or 40 years ago, I mean, it's like, okay, you say it's he said, she said, she has political motive, she has whatever. But, I mean, I find it hard to understand that these women. I mean, I've seen the women. I've heard them on various news outlets. I mean, you know, they certainly, to me anyway, I mean, just did not, they didn't look like they were crying fake tears. They looked, the one with the yearbook, and she looked very distraught and a pretty credible witness to me. I mean, I'm no lawyer and I'm not sitting on a jury, but I mean, it's like, I don't know what, you know, her motive. Well, I mean, you could say her motive would be she doesn't want him to be elected. Okay, I understand that. But, I mean, she's putting herself out there, saying all the things that she said. You know, she must either be a really good actress or, okay, she's a liar. But, I mean, I she just seems pretty credible to me. I mean, and you know, it's just – it's. I mean, I understand why people, you know, in Alabama or whoever want to have, you know – their candidate elected. I'm all understanding that, but I don't understand why so many people are basically just saying, okay, all these women are liars. They've got some other political motive behind them. I mean, it's, I just find that.
How do you discern? So how do you discern who's got fake tears and who doesn't? I mean, that's your.
I don't know. I mean, okay. I was just listening to Richard Randall the other night, and he, you know, that was what his statement, that the woman was crying fake tears. I'm not saying that. That's what he said.
Okay. Okay.
Well, I don't know. I wasn't there, but I mean, it's.
You've got just, good questions.
It's just funny that, you know, and I find it very disturbing as a Christian that the church is so just taking it all so lightly that, you know, this couldn't possibly have ever happened to this person. I mean, these people are all liars, and we're going to. You know, we're going to possibly elect a pedophile to the U.S. Senate.
I'm going to bring you back after the break, Michael, because you bring up a good point. And we're going to come back and talk about that very point. Michael says the church isn't seeming to take this seriously. And we'll pick up from there when we come back. And so much more here on AM 740 KVOR.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
He's trying to undermine the media, trying to make up his own facts so that he can actually control exactly what people think. And that is our job.
Yeah. With Michelle Morin on AM 740 KVOR.
Did you know that Harvey Weinstein kept a hit list of women so he could try and suppress all the claims of sexual misconduct against him? He knew he was guilty. And do we still have the audio of Weinstein outside of his home saying, oh, people make mistakes, and then he starts going off on conservative journalism, something like that, Jason? He's going to look for that. So, yeah, Harvey Weinstein had a hit list of 91 women that he gave to private investigators who he put in charge of protecting his image because he knew he was wrong. And according to The Observer, he distributed this list to his network of spies, private investigators, and public relations professionals, and who were trying to keep the guy under wraps. This is gross. This is really gross. And then we've got Al Franken. Al Franken with a photograph of him molesting a woman while she's sleeping, touching her. And I've got some interesting audio from MSNBC how big media is trying to water that down into that was just a mock sexual abuse. That wasn't the real thing. And here we have Roy Moore. There are no photographs. There's a yearbook with clearly a forged signature. If you look at the judicial signature versus the yearbook signature. And we've got Michael on the phone. And as he says, there are people on all sides who are chiming in with opinions for or against Roy Moore. And Michael, you said that before we took a break, you said something about how the church, paraphrasing you, correct me if I'm wrong, you said the church seems to be taking it all so lightly, and as a Christian, this is bothering you. Did I say that right?
Pretty much.
Elaborate on that, because I'm not seeing the church take it lightly, and I'm not taking it lightly. I've been around the block enough times to know that the sexual abuse crosses all cultures, all subcultures, and it's not the church is not exempt. And the church does a really good job of circling the wagons, protecting their own. But in this case, do you think that's happening, or do you think that, because I'm seeing in my peer circle, I'm in the minority when it comes to Roy Moore. I'm in the minority when it comes to the senators. Ted Cruz has even come out and ridiculously said that Roy Moore needs to prove that the allegations are wrong. I've got prominent Christian friends who think he needs to step down and who are just disgusted with him based on the allegations. And there are just a few of us who are holding the line and saying, you know what? Prove it. Prove it. So talk to me some more about this.
Well, you know, what I've heard and read, I mean, can't speak for my particular church, but I mean, just from the people in the churches in Alabama that I've heard, and then some of the other, Christian television stations that I've seen airing different religious ministers talk about it, and they're pretty much saying that they don't believe it. But I mean, the fact that proof. I mean, I think that's an interesting thing too. Proof. Okay, so. Mm-hmm. You know, Al Franken came out and basically said, okay, yes, this happened. So everybody's, you know, going to throw him under the bus and say, you know, you need to resign from the Senate because you had admitted it. But as long as you say, I didn't do it, I'm not guilty, then you're off the hook. Even if you may be guilty, you can go down that playbook and say, didn't happen, I didn't do it, but I mean, how do you know? I mean, who do you have to, I guess, basically say, unless you have a trial, you know, which is, you know, what the American public is doing now. You're trying to have a trial without a trial. Who is the more credible witness?
So, you know, are you saying
the man or the woman?
We've got Al Franken saying, "I'm so sorry, I did it, and boy, I'm not going to resign." Are you suggesting that Roy Moore should just admit that he did it and then just move on and not give up?
If he did it, that would be the manly thing to do. I mean, if he did it. But of course, people that, you know, generally speaking, I mean, people that commit whatever kind of crime most people don't want to admit it. They don't want to go to jail. They don't want to be, you know, they don't want to have the consequences. You know, I mean, you get even children, you know, I didn't do it. I mean, my son tells me all the time, I didn't do it. I mean, people don't want to admit that they did something because they know there's going to be consequences.
So are you suggesting the same standard for Al Franken as for Roy Moore? So that if Roy Moore would just come out and say, you're right, I did it, and I'm not going to drop out of the election, is that what you would like him to do?
I don't think you can really even compare what Al, I'm not condoning what Al Franken did by any means, believe me, but I don't think sticking your tongue in somebody's mouth and doing what he did on the plane as a comedian at the time, he was not a politician. Granted, these events did, you know, happened when Ray Moore was not a politician, but, you know, having possible sex with 14-year-old girls, I don't think compares to sticking your tongue in somebody's mouth.
Really?
I don't see that. No, yeah, really.
Roy Moore wasn't accused of having sex with 14-year-old girls. As far as I know, he was accused of trying to date them and maybe trying to touch them, but apparently the girls said no, and he didn't do it. That's the allegation. But that music means we got to go. Michael, thanks for calling in. I always appreciate when you call. And we're going to come back and talk more about this. The double standards are just flying tonight. We're going to talk about this, the GOP, Senator Cory Gardner, Harvey Weinstein, and what in the world should Alabama voters do when we come back here on the Michelle Morning Show.
The things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up its own facts, and our job.
Yeah. The Michelle Morin Show.
Okay, give me a call here at 719-540-0740, and you can text me at 659-8398. Tiffany's here with me tonight. She'll be reading your texts. You can always message me on Facebook as well. You can find me Facebook, Mom for Freedom, or Michelle Morin. Pretty easy to find, and contact the show tonight if you want to join the discussion. My question is, what's evidence? Michael called and very frustrated because he feels like Harvey Weinstein, just, you know, guilty as charged, and Roy Moore's not, and that he's being protected. Well, I don't see it. I don't. There's not an equivalence between the two. Harvey Weinstein now has a hit list of 91 people he was trying to keep silent because he knew he was asexual and is a sexual criminal and predator. We did find the audio from Weinstein saying that it was just a mistake. Everybody makes mistakes. Well, you don't make a mistake when you've got a list of 91 people you're trying to silence. That's not a mistake. And then you've got the whole Roy Moore fiasco. And I've been saying all along, you know, I don't know if he did or did not. All I know is the quote-unquote evidence that's been put forth is very suspect and very stinky, doesn't add up. And what's most infuriating about this is, of course, big media is going to go after him, and of course the left is going to go after him, but we've got the GOP establishment. Of course they would go after him, too. But now we've got solid conservatives who normally have very strong critical thinking skills and can defend their positions well, like Senator Ted Cruz saying that Roy Moore needs to prove himself innocent, and Mitt Romney, who's not a conservative, who's just... he is what he is. He's a failed presidential candidate, part of the GOP establishment. He'll say anything to keep himself relevant in the GOP. He tweeted, "Innocent until proven guilty is for criminal convictions, not elections. I believe Leah Korfman. Her account is too serious to ignore. Moore is unfit for office and should step aside." And then we have our own Colorado Senator, Cory Gardner. He wants to expel Roy Moore if Roy Moore does get elected, which opens a whole other topic, which is infuriating to me, that these guys, these GOP establishment guys who have just jumped all over the Roy Moore thing so fast with no evidence, doesn't it just kind of smell like a setup? Doesn't your gut instinct just tell you that? True or not, doesn't that just, you know... Whether the allegations are true or not, wasn't it just opportunistic for these guys to just come out? Oh, he needs to get out. He's unfit. You know, in my book is the Constitution. And in a constitutional republic with the constitutional rule of law, the idea is, the principle is, innocent until proven guilty. Innocent until proven guilty. But all these guys... they're pulling their names, they're pulling their endorsements, and they are saying in word and in deed, guilty until proven innocent. That's witch trial stuff to me. That's a witch hunt. That's a scary thing for the GOP, who's supposed to be defending our Constitution and our rule of law and our rights as an individual to maintain innocence until proven guilty. That's a scary place to be. I don't like it. And we need to be shouting as loud as we can to these GOP guys who are all over this bandwagon against Roy Moore. They need to back down. Because think about this. So I've said what goes around comes around, and I said this on Facebook earlier this week. Senator Gardner, do you think the left loves you any more than they don't love Roy Moore? Because honestly... I can see through you. The left can see through you. And they don't, they just love you. They hate you just a little less than they hate Roy Moore. And you're jumping all over this bandwagon to expel a guy who might get elected to the Senate, and you want to disenfranchise the entire state of Alabama because you are taking the guilty until proven innocent witch hunt principle. And you're willing to take away the vote, the legitimate votes of Alabama voters? Because I said it, what goes around comes around. And when you get that antsy to destroy someone without any evidence, you better watch out. Because the left doesn't care who they destroy, whoever gets in their way. And I know right now you're not in their way, but trust me, like I said, they'll destroy anybody. And I'm beyond disappointed. It's just disgusting what's going on here. We are innocent until proven guilty. Let's focus on the GOP a little bit more. Senator Jeff Flake, Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, on Friday was caught on a hot mic. He was telling a Republican mayor that, I'll let the audio play. But this tells all. This really, to me, tells all. He didn't know he was being recorded. But you know what? This is the motive behind the establishment GOP, Senator Gardner, John Kasich, who we played last week. They all hate Roy Moore. Let's listen to what Senator Flake said. He thought his mic was off.
Come the party of Roy Moore and Donald Trump. We are the toast.
And
we
I'm not throwing smoke at you, but you're the guy that could, just for fun, think how much fun it would be just to be the foil, you know, and to point out what an idiot this guy is.
Okay.
You know, anyway.
Oh. Play that again, Jason. It starts out, the very first part is Flake saying, if we become the party of Roy Moore. Play that one more time.
Come the party of Roy Moore and Donald Trump. We are the toast.
And
we
I'm not throwing smoke at you, but you're the guy.
This is the Arizona, this is the Mesa, Arizona Mayor John Giles responding to Flake. And listen to his, listen to him talk about Trump. I'm assuming when he says this would be fun to throw, you know, it would be just a foil and point out what an idiot this guy is. It sounds like he's talking about Trump. Let's see what he says here.
We are the toast.
And
we
I'm not throwing smoke at you, but you're the guy that could, just for fun, think how much fun it would be just to be the foil, you know, and to point out what an idiot this guy is.
Okay.
You know, anyway.
Oh, my gosh. Is that not disturbing? Here you've got Senator Flake. It's the way it is, but you've got Senator Flake, if saying if we become the party of Roy Moore and Donald Trump, we are toast. Do you know what he's really saying there? He and his buddies in the members-only club that they call the GOP, they are toast if Roy Moore gets elected. They hate Trump. They still hate Trump. Never believe for a second that they support Trump. And notice he said nothing about our constitutional republic. He said nothing about America. You know, our constitutional republic won't be toast. Our America, his concern is not about our constitutional republic. His concern is not about America. His concern is about that party. The GOP's toast. Well, guess what, Senator Flake? That's all the more reason for me to tell Roy Moore to stay at it, because they know that Roy Moore is undeterred, and that when Roy Moore gets elected, he's going to be undeterred in the conservative ideals that he's going to push forward in the Senate. And they can't have that voice. They can't have that kind of strength in their party pushing back against them. This is what this is all about. The McConnells, the McCains, the Collins, the Flakes, the Gardners, they can't allow more in to threaten the sacred order of the establishment GOP as Trump has. They cannot let that happen. You start thinking about the things that they're saying, and the more you think about it, the more you realize this is a setup. True or not, I am not saying that the allegations are false. They smell false, but I don't know. All I'm saying is everything surrounding it stinks. And Senator Flake, you know, Trump has rolled back more regulations in spite of you and your members-only club called the GOP, who's in power and who, you know, it's the left who talks about resisting Trump. But you know who's resisting Trump? Indeed, it's you guys. It's Senator Gardner. It's you, Senator Flake. It's McCain. It's McConnell. It's everybody in the establishment GOP who's not doing what you were elected to do. You're not repealing Obamacare. You're not building the wall. And just today, a Border Patrol agent got murdered at the border. We need a wall. And it's you, Flake, who's so worried about your sacred party and not about our country and not about our safety and my safety and my family's safety. But Trump is still... And I was a never-Trumper. Remember this. I was. And Trump is proving my initial reservations wrong. There are 52 environmental rules on the way out under Trump. I've got a statistic here that Obama created $3 billion in new regulations in the first 5 months of his administration. And that in the first 5 months of the Trump administration, Trump wiped away $22 billion worth of regulations from the Heritage Organization. That's data from them. We're going to talk about this and more when we come back. Hang on. Come back. You don't want to miss this.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, so the GOP, if you heard the last segment, I got a little carried away about it's not just hypocrisy anymore. Hypocrisy is a word I tend to not really use anymore because the left doesn't care. What the left does is they pull out the Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and they try to pigeonhole us. And which one is it here? Let's see. Rule number four, make the enemy live up to its own book of rules. That's what they're kind of trying to do with the Roy Moore thing. Sorry, guys, it ain't working. You know, facts are what we're dealing with here. And the GOP establishment just doesn't give a rip about it. They've already come out and said guilty until proven innocent. They have become witch hunters. And I haven't even really heard Democrats talk about this. Maybe it's just because my news sources aren't focused on them. It is the GOP who is screaming the loudest about Roy Moore. And when Senator Flake said, if we allow Trump and Moore in, we're toast. Absolutely, you're toast. You are toast. And it proves that the people's vote is more powerful than your unscrupulous corruption in trying to get the guy to back down and not even run. So I want to repeat myself. No clue if the allegations are true or not. I am a firm believer that anything can happen and anyone can do it. And I believe if there are allegations, they absolutely need to be investigated and proven false or true one way or another. With that said, I'm in the innocent until proven guilty camp. That's called the American camp. That's called the constitutional camp. It isn't the GOP camp, clearly, anymore. But I'm in that camp, and I want Roy Moore as a Coloradan. I'm not in Alabama, and it looks like the Alabama folks want him to stay on the ballot. Let the election happen. If he doesn't get elected, then it's not an issue, right? If he gets elected, then, you know, Senator Gardner, are you going to just expel him and out the Alabama voters? I don't think that's going to go too well for you because I'm going to make sure everyone knows about it. And I know Alabama is too. And you can't just expel someone. This is a witch hunt. You're just going to just burn him at the stake because she said so? That's what happened in the Salem witch trials. She said so, so she got burned at the stake. Is that what we've come to? Is that what we've come to? That's a scary thing. That's the GOP. That's the GOP. That's who we vote for, typically, right? And then, you know, yes, if Moore wins, oh, back to my point. My mind's in a few different places with this. If he gets elected, go through the investigative process. Go through it as thoroughly as you possibly can. Prove it right or wrong. If it's all proven false, back off. He's a senator. If it's proven true, then you go through the proceedings that are necessary to do what you got to do. And I'm not using the term expel, and here's why. Because there are, where's my paper here? Congress has sitting sexual abusers already. Can't find my papers. Congress has got, oh, Jason,
I will say
something.
For one, Al Franken.
Oh, yeah.
Right off the top of my head, you know, just recently, Al Franken.
Yeah, I'm looking for the the bureaucracy that's covering them. Al Franken. We got Al Franken. Yes. Have you heard any GOP come out against Al Franken? Have you heard any?
Maybe two. Compared to the more, there's nothing. Absolutely nothing in comparison.
Yeah.
You might have a few. And even Al Franken said, I need an ethics committee to investigate me, please.
Oh, he did.
When
he did.
Knows they're not going to do anything about it. He admitted he was wrong and he apologized. It's okay now.
He did. I found the paperwork. All right. Breitbart. 264 staffers were paid $17 million in your money, taxpayer money, in congressional harassment hush money. And I want to go through this. So let's keep Al Franken and Roy Moore and the Harvey Weinstein stuff on the back burner for a second. I want to focus on this because if Senator Gardner wants to expel Roy Moore against the wishes of the Alabama voters, he's got a bigger problem here. He's going to have to expel a whole lot more people. And we're going to start opening up the investigations and naming names because the way – all right, this is going to make you just buckle in. This is bad news. 2 decades ago, Congress and Bill Clinton.
Who would have guessed he would be involved in any way in this?
I don't know. I wouldn't have.
Holy.
Bill Clinton and Congress signed into law something called, this was in 1995, the Congressional Accountability Act. Oh, doesn't that sound good? Keeping Congress accountable? Well, let's dig in here. This was established to deal with claims of sexual harassment in the legislature. Now, normally, employees of private companies with 15 or more employees would file sexual harassment claims with the Department of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, and no matter what. And even federal employees who are not employed in the legislative branch, they can file harassment claims with the EEOC. But no, if you work for a member of Congress, the Senate, or the House, and you are sexually harassed by a member of the Congress, you have to go through something called the Office of Compliance. It's right up there on Capitol Hill, and it has the administrative responsibility for handling harassment incidents brought to it by congressional staffers. Now, before I go any further, is it not problematic that there's an office for this purpose on Capitol Hill?
Specifically for just them.
And Bill Clinton signed it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that not problematic?
I'm sure he might be on a board somewhere.
He might be.
For that.
The mediation board? Yes. The arbitration board?
I bet you.
So here's how this works. And let's see. It's a four-step process. And if you work for a lawmaker, you have to go to the Office of Compliance, and you have to go within a certain number of days. Let's find out how many days here. I think you have to go within 180 days after the date of the alleged violation. And step one is counseling. You have to go through counseling.
The victim does?
The victim has to go through counseling, not the alleged abuser.
Oh, well, no, they don't need counseling, obviously.
The employee who has who's complaining about sexual abuse has to go through counseling. It must be made within 180 days after the date of the alleged violation. So if it's 181 days later, you're done.
If it's 40 years later, you're done.
Thank you. Oh, do you see the contrast? See, Congress can only be accused for 180 days, but Roy Moore can be accused 40 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Well, during...
Well, you see, she wasn't part of the legislature at all, so it's okay now.
During the counseling period, the Office of Compliance counselor will discuss an employee's concerns and inform the employee of his or her rights under the law. The counselor does not serve as a representative or advocate, only as an advisor to help an individual understand how the law works and to clarify facts and issues. Step two, mediation. If the employee chooses to continue with a claim after counseling, The next step is to request mediation. Must be requested within 15 days of receiving notification of the completion of the counseling period and last for 30 days. Step 3 and 4, civil action or administrative hearing and review by the board of the Office of Compliance. Boy, but that's an interesting board. We're going to talk more. We're going to continue learning about what goes on, why Congress is exempt from sexual harassment accusations, and why Roy Moore isn't when we come back.
The things big media won't tell you with Michelle Marin on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, we've got a half hour left in the show. If you want to call and join the discussion and talk about, is it innocent until proven guilty or guilty until proven innocent? And what's the difference and when do you draw those lines? My number here is 719-540-0740. You can text at 659-8398. Tiffany's here to read your text. And you can message me on Facebook at Mom for Freedom or Michelle Marin. You can find me either place. And so Congress, so while we've got sitting GOP senators wanting to expel Roy Moore if he gets elected without a fair trial, turns out that once you're in Congress, that you and I, the taxpayer, we pay hush money if any of these sitting congressmen are accused of sexual abuse.
Well, that's only after you go through the whole process of trying to convince you not to go through with it.
Yes, thank you. That's perfect. And you have to file your complaint within 180 days of the alleged situation.
Yeah, not
the alleged
40
event.
Years yeah, prior.
So as the victim, you go through counseling, and I'm sure it's all, do you really want to do this?
That's still, you're the victim you go through counseling, not the perpetrator. They're okay.
Then there's mediation. That's step two. If an employee chooses to continue with a claim after the counseling period, that's suspect in of itself, the next step is to request mediation with the Office of Compliance. Mediation must be requested within 15 days of receiving notification of the completion of the counseling period and lasts for 30 days. During mediation, the Office of Compliance appoints one or more neutral mediators, and I trust that they're neutral, professionals at dispute resolution, who will meet with the parties to the dispute to seek a solution to the problem that's acceptable to both parties. The goal of mediation is a voluntary resolution acceptable to all. Mediated settlements are always voluntary and can never be imposed by the mediator. It's intended to provide a confidential, informal means of settling disputes. So if you're a victim of sexual abuse and you're reading this, you're thinking, really? I'm going to go through all this?
Yeah.
Third step. Go ahead, Jason.
They put all the onus on it. For everything is on the victim.
It is on the victim.
You have to go there. You have to go through counseling. You have to pursue it. If they haven't convinced you after 180 days of counseling.
Yeah.
And then they get to decide if it's okay.
And then step three is civil action or administrative hearing. And then step four, review by the board of the Office of Compliance. That's when the complaining employee has an opportunity to receive a financial settlement if the employee prevails in the case.
It's not a victim of the abuse. It's not a. It's the complaining employee.
Well,
okay.
Notably, no civil penalties or punitive damages may be awarded for any claims under this act. So abusers don't get any charges against them. And during testimony before the Committee on House Administration last Tuesday, Democrat Representative Jackie Speier stated that there are two current members of Congress, one Republican and one Democrat, who have sexually harassed people. She said that there are at least two going through the process.
I was about to say, there's only two?
Going through the process.
Okay, at the moment.
Currently,
okay.
At the moment. Is that not creepy? Yeah. Creepy? And 264 staffers have been paid $17 million in hush money for all of this. The OOC requires an individual to wait at least 90 days from the alleged incident before filing the complaint. and the counseling and all of that.
Wait a minute. You have to wait 90 days, but you can't make it past 180? So
yeah.
You have a 90-day, you have a three-month window. You can't do it too early, but if you do it too late, you're done too. So what?
So doesn't this tell you that the sitting senators who are threatening to expel Roy Moore, isn't there a conflict of interest?
Yeah, you would think.
Yeah. Yeah. So big media is all over this, right? Al Franken, there's a picture of Al Franken.
I would say that's the most evidence you can get.
I think so.
Someone's word, okay, you could take that as evidence. That's not as hard evidence as I would like.
Right?
But a photograph, that's pretty hard evidence.
And if you haven't seen the photograph, there's no denying what he did, but big media.
Well, there is denying if you're the media.
That's right. Well, let's hear him. We've got MSNBC. Casey Hunt was talking about the story. Interesting that she was talking about it at all. And we've only got a little bit of what she said here, but listen to how she explains the Al Franken situation.
And then he took a picture, which his office now says was a joke, that showed him potentially not actually groping, but mock groping her while she was asleep.
Mock groping her?
Well, you
this
see...
This is big media.
Yeah, you can't actually grope somebody if they're asleep. You didn't know that? That's the rules.
Thank you.
Are you kidding me? This woman was drugged asleep on a plane.
I know.
And they're, mocked. Not actually groping, mock groping.
It was mock
Are you
groping.
Kidding me?
I know. So we started the hour talking about Senator Flake saying how if Moore gets elected, then with Trump and Moore, the GOP is toast. So the GOP is, they must sense that they're losing this debate in some form or another. So they're trying to lump Trump in now. Trump in with Moore. And Senator Collins, Maine's Senator Collins, went on, what program was it? I'll find that while you listen to the audio. She went on one of the Sunday shows or the Saturday shows this weekend, and she pulled Trump into this. Let's listen to her.
To see Roy Moore now calling all of his accusers liar. President Trump, more than a dozen women came forward during the campaign. He says that every single one of them are lying.
He did say that, and President Trump was not my choice for the Republican nominee for president, and I did not support him in part because of the way that all of these reports about how he was treating women. He is president now, and I am working with him on some issues, but those allegations remain very disturbing.
So let's just, and were not the allegations against Trump completely disproved? And we elected him anyway, and nothing.
Well, it was a big hubbub until he was elected, then all of a sudden, nothing.
Nothing.
Not a thing.
Same thing with Roy Moore. Once Roy Moore, I'm pretty confident he's going to get elected because I'm seeing that his fundraising is through the roof. I'm seeing that. In spite of big media going to Alabama, trying to find common people who hate Roy Moore and who are saying they're going to, ditch him, that is not what's happening. The people are doubling down and saying, no, this is our state, and we're not going to be controlled and intimidated, much like Roy Moore. And I'm with him on that. There was a Women for Moore rally that took place Friday outside the Alabama State Capitol. There are 12 women quoted by Breitbart who are testifying to the media about Moore, Roy Moore's character. There's people who've known him 30 years, 40 years. One was his receptionist. One is the sister of Moore's wife. One dated Moore. I've got so many here. And it's interesting, in the witch hunt, wouldn't you think that I've got this article here? There was a Women for Moore rally, and we've got 12 women quoted who know him in some capacity for a long time, 25 to 40 years. Senator Cruz, you said, there's got to be something coming out where you're rebutting this. Does this not count?
Well, Michelle, you have to understand, they have to prove that he didn't assault them. They can't just say he was a good guy and he... You have to prove that he never did.
Oh, that's There you go.
It's clarity. Ridiculous. Yeah.
Oh, the witch hunt. It's still on. You know, for this reason alone, I hope he does not cave. I don't think he's going to cave, and I think he's going to get elected.
Do you think he's going to be ousted? Do you think they would tempt fate?
I think that they'll do well. They're investigating the Russian collusion in the election. Why wouldn't they investigate him with the fake premise? They're going to keep the spotlight on him and try to discredit him.
Well, I'm sure they would, but if they can't prove anything, they just say, well, it just looks bad. We have to get you out.
Yeah.
Do you think they would try?
I do.
Really?
I do. The GOP establishment hates him. I do. Yes. And Franken is going to be... Oh, Frank is not going to resign, he says. However, I have something here that says that now we've got liberal groups. There's a group called Justice Democrats. And another group called Ultraviolet. These groups are calling for the resignation of Senator Franken. Do you know who they want to replace him with? This is a win-win for the left. If you have to get rid of Al Franken, do it with someone, replace him with someone who's even further left.
I can't even imagine.
Minnesota Democrat Keith Ellison. He is the former head of the Democrat Party. And he is very, very close to Louis Farrakhan. Yeah. And he has defended the Nation of Islam. He's made many anti-Semitic remarks.
Are they under the impression that they could just oust Franken and just, well, we want him, so he'll just replace him right now?
Yes.
They don't understand that there would be a vote, a special election as well?
It would be an appointment. There would be an appointment in this case. It says
really?
I read that the governor, I believe, appoints him. Let me find that out here. I'll find that out over the break. I did read that. But yeah, this is a win-win for the left. It always is, because there's always someone further left than the guy sitting, which it seems like it would be hard to go further left than Al Franken. But Keith Ellison, he's further left. Yeah. Win-win for them. So this is a mess. It's a total mess. And it goes back to what Jason and I have been saying for a year. Term limits.
Ah. Yes.
Term limits would take care of this. Did you notice when Susan Collins was talking how old she sounds? And if you've seen the video.
Well, not to be derogatory.
Right.
But at the same time, when you've been in office for 30, 40 years.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time. And these people are they're so entrenched in their power and the salaries they receive and the benefits. This is all about them. So, yeah.
Well, considering you could just sexually harass anybody, why would you want to leave? That's ridiculous.
They're so
You
protected.
Could do whatever you want and you're totally fine.
They certainly can. And then I think I said it last week. There's a guy who's on camera all the time, touching women, touching girls, and they're trying to scooch away, and he won't leave him alone. It's Joe Biden. Nobody's investigating Joe Biden.
You know why? He's your 2020 candidate for the Democratic Party.
No, you need to display the screamer. Remember the screamer?
Yeah,
that's me. No, we're not going to validate that because that's not happening. But I've got 12 photographs here of Joe Biden photographed doing creepy things to little girls, women, and they clearly don't want him touching them. And he was known to skinny dip in front of female secret service agents. No, that to me is pretty gross harassment, but he gets a pass. He gets a pass.
Well, if Al Franken can literally grope a woman and they don't do anything about it, then I don't even know.
It is bad. And we're going to talk about this Supreme Court justice from Ohio. He came out and tried to, like, preemptively strike so that he didn't get caught in this. Wait till you hear what he said. He bragged about being with 50 women on Facebook.
What?
See, I tell you what big media won't. Even Jason doesn't know this. I'll tell you more when we come back here on AM 740 KBO.
These are the things big media won't tell you.
Trying to make up his own facts. And that is our job.
Yeah.
The Michelle Morin Show.
So on this junior high topic that we cannot get away from, I am so sad. Just side note here. I am so sad for our culture. This is a bad time in our history, and it just seems to be getting worse. What we're talking about tonight shouldn't be an issue. There are efforts to silence real victims of sexual abuse, and there are efforts to conjure up fake allegations of sexual abuse, and it all blends together by design, by the left's design, to just water down our Judeo-Christian values, water down our constitutional republic, to the point where the GOP, our own GOP, who's supposed to be fighting for our constitutional republic, are making statements, witch hunt statements, such as innocent until proven guilty is only for criminal investigations, not elections. That's from Mitt Romney. That's a sad, scary thing, my friends. We're in a bad time, and we have to stay at it. This is why I'm here. I'm here to tell you what big media won't, because the narrative is overwhelming, and it's overwhelmingly false, and it's against reality. And when you start fighting reality, it comes around and bites you in the backside, and that's what's happening. But I wanted to tell you about this judge. Bill O'Neill is an Ohio State Supreme Court judge. He was going to run for governor, and now he's dropped out because of this Facebook post. Listen to this. He posted this about 3 days ago. "Now that the dogs of war are calling for the head of Senator Al Franken, I believe it is time to speak up on behalf of all heterosexual males." Oh, good guy, right? Sorry, Jason. He's
at least he didn't put white in there.
I know.
Thank you for that, sir.
"As a candidate for governor, let me save my opponents some research time. In the last 50 years, I was sexually intimate with approximately 50 very attractive females." Jason's just dying over here. "It ranged from a gorgeous blonde who was my first true love, and we made passionate love in the hayloft of her parents' barn and ended with a drop-dead gorgeous redhead from Cleveland. Now we can get back." This is the judge still talking. "Now we can get back to discussing legalizing marijuana and opening the state hospital network to combat the opioid crisis. I am so disappointed by this national feeding frenzy about sexual indiscretions decades ago. Peace." That's what he said. I'm not kidding. He's deleted it. He's deleted it. And he's dropped out of the governor race. See, this was when he was still going to be in the governor's race. So he's thinking, I can just come out and, exonerate myself and brag at the same time, wink, wink, about what a woman's man I am.
He didn't do it in the correct way. You can't say, since they're all going after these sexual predators, I'm going to just say I sexually assaulted 50 women. That's what it sounds like he's saying.
It does. No. So he came out a couple days later. He dropped out and he apologized for the post. They always apologize so nicely. But he said he doesn't apologize for bringing the issue of sexual assault. So this is what he said most recently. Quote, "If I offended anyone, particularly the wonderful women in my life, I apologize. But if I have helped elevate the discussion on the serious issues of sexual assault as opposed to personal indiscretions to a new level, I make no apologies."
He didn't elevate anything. If anything, it went farther down.
He brought it down. And here's what he says about Roy Moore. Suggesting the admitted conduct of Senator Al Franken and the alleged conduct of Judge Roy Moore are on the same level trivializes the serious subject at hand. Which side is he on?
What side?
It's hard to say. I think he's a Franken guy.
Oh, of course, yeah.
But, What? This is insane. This is a judge. This is a Supreme Court judge in the state of Ohio.
Is he still? He didn't step down from that as well?
No. Why isn't anyone?
Someone should be calling for him to step down.
I know. So I guess anyone now, if there are any women who feel they were sexually abused by this guy, Does he think that they can't come out now and accuse
him? Well, no,
him?
He just disclosed all of it, so he's good, right?
He's good. And he apologized.
He's part of the no, that's you have to be a representative to have all the that cool, like, 180-day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so he's not included in that.
Oh, gosh. All right. In that vein, MSNBC panelist, where is her name here? She came out and said, well, let's just listen to her. In this whole context of the, you know, perverted culture that we have, can you guess who the problem is?
Yeah, I can.
All right, let's find out.
And so I think this is nothing new. What is interesting, though, is that white men continue to be pose the biggest threat to Americans every single day. It's been documented and verified that they are more likely to burn down churches, more likely to commit mass murders and mass shootings. And so Jeff Sessions' reality and his assessment on these people, I think, is both lacking in facts and both reality.
30 seconds to you here, Sharon. When asked again during this testimony, the attorney general said, I have no senior member of my staff that is African American. What do you make of that?
Well, that is precisely the problem. You know, whatever boardroom these FBI employees were sitting in where they came up with the idea that black identity extremist was an appropriate term,
yeah, yeah.
You know, had there been one African-American person in that room, I don't think that would have happened.
Jamira, 15 seconds.
No, I agree. We need to make sure that young people and people.
All right. We heard the gist of it. Can you rewind and replay just the first 15 seconds of that, Jason?
And so I think this is nothing new. What is interesting, though, is that white men continue to be pose the biggest threat to Americans every single day. It's been documented and verified that they are more likely to burn down churches, more likely to commit mass murders and mass shootings. And so Jeff Sessions' reality and his assessment on these people, I think, is both lacking in facts and both reality.
All right. Just wanted you to hear the attack against white males is not stopping.
It never will.
It won't. And just, I'm going to deviate here for just a second. Apple. The Apple company had a black diversity chief, and she got fired because she said, there can be 12 white, blue-eyed, blonde men in a room, and they're going to be diverse, too, because they're going to bring a different life experience and life perspective to the conversation. She was the diversity inclusion chief. Her name was Denise Young Smith. And she got fired from Apple because she said that.
She was being diverse?
She was too diverse. Yeah. She was too diverse. It's not that diverse. So all this and more, we're going to keep this conversation going next Sunday at 9 p.m. Thanksgiving is this week. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I challenge you and exhort you, think about the real Thanksgiving story, because that's what this is all about. It's about freedom. It's about America and our Constitution. I gotta go. I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVUR. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving.